Genesis chapter 1. That's right in the front of your book. In case you don't know where Genesis chapter 1 is, it's right there near the front. Right in the beginning. Thank God, I'm glad in the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth. I'm glad it wasn't up to man to be able to do it, because we'd committee it to death. We'd get an architect to do it, and he'd draw up a design that won't work. I used to work for a construction company, and we'd get some of those designs, and architects, I said they ought to have to work in the construction field for about 2 years before they ever draw a picture, so they'd know what would work and what wouldn't work in this world, because you just don't go out and find 2x14s. They don't make them. You 2x12s, and they call for 2x14s to make tread runners for a set of stairs. Well, it's kind of hard to find those when they don't make such things, and all these different things. God had a plan, and it was a perfect plan. God didn't have to erase it and start over again. He didn't have to scrap his idea. God created the heavens and the earth, and actually, I believe it would take more faith to believe this thing happened from a big bang than it would to believe that God just created it. It would take more faith to believe that we evolved from the waters and walked out on land and became what we are now. Matter of fact, why haven't we went farther? Why haven't we got to where we don't get cancers? Why haven't we got where the common cold's not common anymore? Why haven't we got over diabetes and be able to grow a new pancreas or whatever part that we get messed up if we're supposed to be able to evolve? Why haven't we been able to do these things? See, that just blows their theory of evolution. They need to get back to the Word, get back to basics and know the book and know what God has said and what God has done and God is going to do. And sometimes it's good that we go back to see what God has done so that when we look at the prophecy and we look at Revelation and God has said through His men that have wrote down and penned the prophecy that we know that it's going to happen. We can go out here and see the evidence of the ground and the sky. We can feel the rain and the moisture that falls on our bodies out of the clouds. We can feel the coldness that comes. We can feel the heat of the sun and all these different things. We can see the grass grow. We can see the herb bear its seed. We can see cattle reproduce cattle and sheep reproduce sheep and not getting mixed up and hybridizing and getting a half cow and half sheep. That would be cheap and it ain't going to work. And when man tries, they mess up things. They mess up things. But when we stick to God's plan, it's a perfect plan. God had a perfect plan for this world. When He created Adam and Eve there in the garden, He had a perfect plan for them, and all they had to be was obedient and listen to Him. But we see that Satan got in, spoke to their heart, and they listened and believed a lie, and we see that they partook of the fruit. Now, we all think it's an apple. You know, it might have been a lemon. That might be why it's a sour now. I don't know. But it was something that was pleasant to look at. The Bible doesn't say it was an apple. Don't everybody like apples the way other people do? Some people love an apple. They look at it and they just think it's the most beautiful thing, most beautiful fruit. Now, they some from the Brushy Mountains and Brushy Mountain Golds. Now, boy, I really like them apples. They're really good. But not everybody likes a golden apple. Some like a red apple. And we're all different. We all see things different. We see different temptations. But yet, they're all common to man. God, when He was making this earth, He knew the temptations we would go through once Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. He made a way that we could have a scapegoat. His name's Jesus. Amen. And all down through the years from this very point in time when the earth was created, God knew one day His Son would come and die at Calvary. Lord. Even before the creation of the world, He knew His Son would have to give His life. Makes me wonder, well, why, God, did You do it? To give us an opportunity. An opportunity to love the most precious being that's ever been. God the Father and Jesus the Son that came and gave His life that we could be saved. Through a new beginning. We're talking about the baptizing here in just a little while. The representation of a new beginning, laying off the old man, beginning a new man, coming out in the likeness of Christ as Christ went down to the water to be baptized. John said, Lord, it shouldn't be that I baptize you, but you baptize me. And Jesus said, you must suffer it to be so, that the Scriptures may be fulfilled. And Jesus was baptized there in the Jordan by John. And the Spirit of God descended upon Him and said, this is My Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Thank God that people are still being recognized with Christ. Not ashamed to say I'm saved. Not ashamed to say I've got a new beginning. And in this new beginning, God will make you anew. God will make you a new creature in Christ. He's changed your life from the old man into the new man or woman. Whatever God has laid on your heart, and if you have come to Him and trusted Him, He's made a new beginning. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, verse 1. And the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Boy, I'm glad the way God works. When He just speaks, it happens. Boy, sometimes I wished I had that kind of control and that kind of power. Sometimes I just stop time so I could get things done that I wanted to do. But if I stop time, then could I get done? Wanted to get done because other things wouldn't be moving. Couldn't get it done. I'm glad I'm not in control of it. Boy, our clocks would be all messed up. I got a digital one up here on the pulpit. Only digital clock in my life ever seen gains time. Most of them lose. This one gains. I don't know. I think somebody jumps up here and sets it up. So I have to check it every week and set it back to the right time. But the only digital clock I know that creates time, goes forward. But time keeps on marching. But we see here now that the earth was without form. Thank God one day I was without form. Though I filled this body of flesh, I was still without form because I didn't have Jesus. I didn't have the missing part that I needed. I was without form and I was void because I was missing the most important thing. Things couldn't fill that place in my heart. Things couldn't fill that emptiness in my soul. Possessions couldn't make me happy because I needed Jesus in my soul. I needed Him. I was without form and I was void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Thank God there was darkness in my life, but Jesus came in and He spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light, and then I could see hope where there was discouragement. Amen. Thank God when He moved upon us, we were different. He said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw the light, and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. I'm glad that God has divided the light from the darkness in this world. I'm glad that He said that we are the light of the world. The Christians, those that have been saved by Jesus Christ, you have a light that's been put in you by the Holy Spirit of God, thank God, that's supposed to shine through the darkness and separate the darkness and be the light in this world that people may see Jesus. That people may see Jesus. I told you about the mistake I made in 2002 when we went to the Smoky Mountains with Bridget and Stephen and Johnny and Joyce. And I can't remember who all else was there. The kids and me and Sandra went up there. And we was riding on that back road. I don't even remember what the name of the road was, Pioneer Road or some kind of thing. Anyway, it was way back in the woods. We got over at the end of this thing. We come out at these caverns. And I was all like, let's go in the caverns. It sounded like a good idea in the daylight. Till I got down there in the darkness. Now, if you ever been down in a cavern and they turn off the lights, it's dark. And that's not a place for a man who's lost his sight and gets it back to go to visit. It wasn't smart. But I thank God that I told him, I said, the next time I'm this deep in the earth, I won't know nothing about it. I'm going to be in heaven. I ain't never went back to no caverns and don't have no plans to go back there anytime soon. But God delivered me from that darkness as well and got me out from there. And He brought me out of a pit of hell and set my feet on a new foundation called Jesus Christ. And thank God I've never been the same, don't want to be the same, want to continue on serving God. And thank God that He saw the light and that He separated the light from the darkness. And God divided that light from the darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning was the first day. What a beautiful first day. Now you notice something I want you to realize. God didn't create the sun and moon right here. No. He didn't create the sun and moon right here. He created light and dark to separate the light from the darkness. He said, let there be light. Later on, we're going to see the sun, the moon, the stars created. Why? So man wouldn't worship and think that the sun gave us what we have now. Men have failed and men have recognized the wrong gods. But I'm thank God, the God of this world, the God of this universe, the architect of this great plan. Thank God He said, let there be light, and there was light. And the evening and the morning was the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. I thank God that He separated this place. gave us this atmosphere that we've got now to breathe, this oxygen that we've got that He's given us, that each one of us have to draw in. Guess what? There's only 21% oxygen in the air you're breathing right now. But without that 21%, you wouldn't live very long. Without that 21% of oxygen in that air that you just drawed in, you wouldn't be taking your next breath. You'd be turning blue and looking a little funny. But that's the way God created all this thing that we have here in a perfect balance. He created this body to be perfect. Sin attacks it from the time that we're born and causes it to degrade all through our life. It brings us down and breaks us down. And it's not the sins that you're committing. Yes, we can make our lives a lot harder. We can put more wrinkles on our face, more gray hairs in our head. But the sin that is present in this world just by being sin, cursed, deteriorates these bodies. We can do the very best that we can do and we can have bad health. We can do the very best that we can do and have good health. We can live very recklessly and never take a care in the world about how we're living and have perfect health. But God's given us all the same opportunity to love Him. And we thank God that He created this place that we have on top of this ground to be able to enjoy, to see the birds fly in the air, to see the clouds come overhead, to see the plains and to see the greatness that's been put out there for us to see the sun shine and the moon and the stars to shine in the heavens, that God's give us all this beauty that we can recognize Him and for His great plan. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. You know, I used to wonder, how does the ocean know to stay where the ocean's at and not run over? You say, well, there's mountains to hold it in boundary. Well, there's rivers too, and it runs in a certain place, and it's held there. Now we have erosion and things that man causes, and we see them working and changing the directions of rivers and streams and the flooding and different things. But God said, let the waters stay here. He said, okay, seas, right here's your boundary. That's where I want you to stay. And this is going to be the dry land for the people that I'm going to create. And He created that, and God saw that it was good. And I've often thought about that phrase as I read that. And God saw that it was good. Does He see the things that New Hope Church is doing and say, that's good? Does He see the things in our life and say, I created them, they're being obedient, and I see what they're doing and that's good? Or would it be something else maybe that He'd see what we're doing and say, I can't believe they've made that choice. They left me completely out of it, didn't ask for direction, and I can't believe they made that decision without me. But yet He still gives us a space and opportunity to make the mistake. He gives us a space and opportunity to repent and ask for forgiveness. But God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens and divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. I thank God that we have the sun and where it's at, for its warmth through the summertime, for its light through the winter, for its healing effects that we feel when you're depressed and the sun comes out. Don't you just feel better? When it's a rainy, cloudy, foggy day, and that just happens just to burn off and you just get a glimpse of the sun shine through that, don't your spirits just lift a little bit? Don't you just feel a little bit of joy returning to your heart? Well, the sun's still shining over all the clouds. The sun's still shining over all the storms. Thank God it's not went out. It's not left us. It's not forsaken us. God made the light to provide for us those things necessary for life. And without it, it would be a very, very barren, cold place. But God knew exactly what He is doing. Place the earth exactly where it needed to be, from the sun, to know exactly what temperature we could survive at. We could enjoy it. Now some of you would have it 65 year-round. Some would have it 40 or 30 and snowing. Boy, we'd have it a mess. I'd have it rain of a night, be pretty of a day where we could garden. Weeds wouldn't grow. Thank God, it's just the plants would grow. Of course, they said a weed is just a plant out of place. But some of them plant them weeds I don't think anybody would ever plant. But anyway, they're there. God created each one of them. We have those because of sin. The weeds and the briars and the brambles. because of sin. But we see that God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven. I'm glad he gave us the sun, not to worship, but to be provided for us to fill a necessity that God knew we needed. And he gave it to us for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made stars also. It wasn't just two collisions of planets that caused a mega eruption of a planet to cause the earth to be formed. That's what Satan tells people. God's word tells us how it happened. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. We see God's been busy. He wasn't taking his precious sweet time of creating these things. They were all perfect. They all had their order. And when God's order's messed with, then we see mistakes happening. We want to mess with God's order. We want to take God out from being first, put self first and everything else last. And when we put self first, leave God out of things, we see what a mess we end up in. In the beginning, God. Enough said. In the beginning of our life needs to be God. In the end of our life needs to be God. And it needs to be filled with God in the middle. If we want to live a good, productive life for God and to be blessed of God. We can try living a life apart from God, but we're going to be a people most miserable. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Right there in verse 20, that just shoots down evolution. He created the things that were in the water, that swam around in the water. Then he created the fowl that were in the air. The fowl didn't come from the water. So there's no birds just decided one day he was tired of swimming in the ocean and decided he'd start flying. So this right here dispels the evolution theory that Darwin come up with. And you say, well, you're too simple if you just believe it that way. I just believe it. God did it, and that's all I've got to know. Amen. He gave us electricity and gave men. Benjamin Franklin might have been flying a kite and got shocked by lightning, but let me tell you, God's the one that created electricity. He put it in the lightning first before man ever was able to harness it. God knew exactly what we'd need. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that hath life and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Right there is another one, thing that dispels the evolution theory here. It said after his kind. It didn't say here that some monkey fell out of a tree, started walking, and God called him man. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that that monkey became a cow. It doesn't say that that cow became a giraffe. It says that God created them and they came after their own kind as they reproduced, that they produced after their own kind. Amen. Now they may have, you know, they said years back there they were trying to do this gene thing and they were doing this cloning thing and all these things were happening and they cloned that sheep Dolly. The last time I heard, Dolly had arthritis. They didn't produce a genetic, a better specimen because of their genetic manipulations and their clonings. They ended up with one that had the same problems that we've got. But praise God, when God makes us different and he rejuvenates us and he makes us different from the inside out, thank God we ain't the same. We may have the same DNA as far as the world sees, but thank God we've got some royal blood that's flowing through our veins. Makes us different, makes us ours and join ours with Jesus Christ in the heaven that God's created. And thank God I don't have to die and go to hell. Thank God I've got a son that I can worship and his name's Jesus. He's seated at the right hand of the Father this morning making intercession for a world that still don't believe in him, that still won't treat him with respect that he ought to have. But thank God he's still there pleading the cause and case of mankind because he still loves us in spite of ourselves. God loves us. And his son is still pleading our cause this morning. And God saw that it was good and God blessed them saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Thank God, God was preparing for us Baptists on the fifth day. You say how? He made the fowl that were flying through the air so we could have some chicken dinners when we came along. One time they asked me if eating chicken was a Baptist qualification to preach. I said, I hope not, because I like steak better, but I'll eat chicken if I have to. And I thank God that He's provided both all things that I've ever needed. And I thank God that He has provided for every need that I have, and also a lot of things that I want and things that I don't deserve, but God has still given them to me. But God was providing for us before we was ever created. And we see here now on the sixth day, we see here that that God created all these things, and the evening and the morning was the fifth day. Now we're going to see the sixth day dawn here in verse 24. And it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after His kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts on the earth after His kind. And it was so. God created all these things, and He spoke them into existence, and they're still going on and doing what they're supposed to be. Cattle are still cattle, sheep are still sheep, goats are still goats, and thank God they continued on. They've got enough sense to know what's right as far as nature, if man would just only get on the same page sometimes as the beast that's in the field, that we would have a little common sense and use that God has given us. But we see all these things that's taking place here. They were created after their own kind, and all these things that He provided and saw that it was good. And every creeping thing. When I read that, I thought about last Sunday. We were sitting down at the campground. I believe it was last Sunday. Yeah, it was. And I was sitting there in a chair, and we had a campfire going down there at the camper, and we were just all sitting down there after supper and just relaxing. All of a sudden, they start hollering at me, don't move, don't move, don't move. Now, what do you naturally do? You move. When everybody's hollering, don't move, so I jump up, and there's a black snake beside of me, and I step on the kind of side of him and kind of push him off to the side. I'm glad he didn't go up my britches leg, because I probably wouldn't be here today. I'd probably still be running. They holler, don't move, don't move. They'd been better off just to let him crawl on by me. Then I'd know not to move. But anyway, he crawled by. Well, I thought it was through, Mr. Black Snake. On Monday morning, I was mowing part of the upper yard there at the campground, and a camper there, and I was just going along, and I seen something black shoot out from under the front end of the lawnmower, and there that snake was again. I thought, it's time for us to go home. But anyway, God created the creeping thing. Of course, we know that the serpent, we know that he was the one that beguiled Eve there, as Satan filled him and used his form there to talk to her there, and the different things. But I was thinking about some of them creeping things. God, boy, it'd be nice if you hadn't created some of those things that's out there. Because some people have fear of spiders, but they're necessary. If we didn't have spiders, all the flies would be. And all these other things we got around here, people run from bees and everything else. But God knew exactly what we needed for things to be pollinated. You might be afraid of bees and say, boy, I wish they'd never been. But if we don't have bees to pollinate stuff, then the stuff don't grow. So God knew exactly what we needed. He said, God said, let there, I don't know what button I hit, but it went blank. God created man in His own image. In verse 27, in the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. Let me go back and get verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after His likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. See, it wasn't here that we should be able to worship the creation. We need to worship the Creator, and we need to have dominion over the earth that God has given us as His children to live upon and to be able to partake of the things and the greatness that He has given us here, to eat of the herbs of the field, to be able to eat of the animals and the different things that God has created, because He tells us here in His Word that He's given us all these things unto us to have dominion over. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. Thank God He says right here what His plan is, what His purpose is for us. There's people today that are starving to death that wouldn't eat a piece of meat. There's people today that's starving to death that wouldn't eat a vegetable. God said for us to partake of these things for the nourishment of our bodies, for us to be able to grow and to be able to use that He's given us. We need to bless our food under His name and by His name bless that food. But God said He gave it to us and gave us dominion over it. Not for the opposite. Not for the opposite. And we have put God in the wrong place and we put ourselves in the wrong place. God said we were created in His image. We're not to make ourselves any less than being God's children. We're not to put ourselves any less than being created in the image of God. And I don't know what the image of God is that you have in your head, but it's not of anything lower than what I am now. Thank God He is higher and greater than I have ever been. But He made me in His image. And I am to strive every day to try to be more Christ-like. Will I be able to reach that perfection? No. But I can sure go a long way from where I started. I can get a lot better and a lot closer to Jesus today than I was yesterday. And I can be closer tomorrow. But also on the flip side of that is, I can also separate myself and walk away from Him and not have that closeness. I can walk away and not be as strong a Christian tomorrow as I am today, if that's my choice. But God gave us that choice. But He's saying, come unto Me. Once you truly know Jesus, you won't want to leave Him. You won't want to walk away. You'll wonder, how have I ever made it without You this long? How have I ever made it? And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning was the sixth day. Now somewhere between this day, the sixth day, and the seventh day, when God rested, is when man made his terrible mistake. You say, how do you know it was between now and the seventh day? Because at the end of the sixth day, it says in verse 31, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Sin had not entered in yet. Pride had not filled Satan's heart. He had not been cast out of heaven yet. Because at this time He said He saw everything that He had made, and it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Somewhere between now and the dawning of the seventh morning, in that time span, Satan filled his heart with pride and wanted to establish his throne above God. He wanted not just to be in charge of praise and worship, but He wanted to be the one that was praised and worshiped. And he was so slick that he talked a third of the angels into following Him. And God said, that's enough. And cast him out of heaven. And took a third of the angels with Him. The original sin, pride. Pride got Satan cast out of heaven. Can you imagine being a perfect angel? To be most beautiful in charge of praise and worship over the throne of God. And be filled with pride and be cast out of heaven's glory. That's why Satan's so mad. He got cast out instead of being accepted. Instead of his throne being established above the throne of God. That's why people, when they hear the name Jesus, get so upset. Because they realize they need somebody. It's not on you, it's on Jesus. Jesus bore the sins that you are carrying and wants to cover them with His red blood that you don't have to because you can't. It's through His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary that He made salvation complete. That His blood was enough. And He died for you on that cross. That just as in the beginning, God knew. God knew that you'd be here today, and if He's dealing with your heart, you say, preacher, I've heard that said before. What's this dealing with your heart? If it feels like your heart is in your chest and you look down, now this is the way it was with me. I can't say it's the way with you. But I looked down that night when I was under conviction. My shirt was just doing that. It was a bouncing in and out. I thought, Lord, everybody in this place knows I'm under conviction. But it was me and God. And God was knocking. He said, I'm standing outside. I'll come in if you'll just open the door. I've already forgiven you. Will you take the forgiveness? It's already provided. Jesus died that all men could be saved, that all men can be forgiven. The forgiveness is already there. All he's wanting to do is come in and say, it's yours. This is my house. When you have evil thoughts, who answers the door? In my mind and in my soul, it's Jesus, because I don't live there anymore. That's God's dwelling place. That's being on the throne of my heart. When Satan comes knocking, I just let Jesus answer the door. Say, hell, Brad, don't live here anymore. This is my house. And you're not welcome, Satan. You're not welcome, Satan. If God's dealing with your heart this morning, you know whether you're saved or you're lost. You know whether God's dealt with your heart or not, or God's dealing now. How close is salvation this morning? It's nigh you in your mouth. To believe with your heart and confess with your mouth. Not your blood pumping muscle, but what makes you you. What makes you you? That's where you have to believe. And confess with your mouth Jesus Christ and His finished work. Sounds pretty simple. We make it difficult. Oh, I've got to change. I've got to quit this. I've got to quit that. I've got to clean my life up and I've got to act the part. No, sirree, you don't. Jesus will change all that. You surrender to Him. He'll make you different. If you don't believe me, just try it. Satisfaction will be guaranteed. God will make you different. As we get a song of invitation ready this morning, if God's dealing with your heart, if you'd like to join these others today that are being baptized through their faith in Jesus Christ and believing that He came, bled, and died for them and have received salvation and going on with a public testimony of I'm going in the liquid grave just as Christ did, laying off the old man and coming forth anew. Friend, that can happen for you today as well. If you'll receive Jesus. If you'll receive Jesus. As we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed.